One of the things I want you to think about. Be careful about allowing things to fall through the cracks. Sometimes when you're sick fairly often, it's easy to forget that somebody's sick, isn't it? Unless you live there. We started making these calls, and we should have been thinking about that a long time ago because of Shelley. I'm kind of ashamed when I thought about that, and somebody said, call Shelley. And I think we've got to be so careful of the things that we do, because everybody is very valuable, no matter what it seems like. And we're all human, and we can all forget things that are very important. I'll be the first to admit, Dorothy, when she's sick, she's the first one I forget. I always space that one out. And I don't do it intentionally. It just is what it is. But at any rate, so I'm glad that Shelley is on the other end of the line. And even though she's not here in body, she's here in spirit. And I don't like to miss. You know, I look at the value of these lessons, and I wish everybody could get it. Because a lot of times, and every time that we come together to study, everything that we study will help us to deal with life and its struggles. We as we bring down the, and we'll conclude in this lesson in just a little bit, it boils down to Jesus taking care of you and your life. But if you don't know His Word, He can't do it. And so every lesson that you can get from God's Word is going to help you to deal with whatever it comes, whether it's depression or what it is. And I can't emphasize that enough, because it's so easy to not have that desire and not have that as a part of your life. And then we don't have the ammunition to deal with the problems that come. And so just keep that in mind, and I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage anybody that hears this. We got these lessons on the internet, and so they'd be there for others that, you know, whether they're like Shelley, that she can't get to services or whatever, you can still have a part of it. You can't have the fellowship. And the fellowship, that's, I think, is a big part of why God designed the assembly, because we need encouragement. And if I don't have that encouragement from you, I get discouraged easier. And so I thank you for what you do. So we're looking at the subject of overcoming depression, and we've looked at pinpointing the problem. And now we're looking at the segment of the lesson we're talking about, lay out the plan of dealing with it. So if it's a person, as we looked at this morning, guys, talk to the person. Get it over with, okay? I know that you may have a time in your life where confronting an individual in a proper, honest, kind way did not solve the problem. That's possible. But I will guarantee you that that's going to be rare if you come to people in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's going to be rare that you don't solve that problem and come away stronger and happier. It's just the way it is. Okay? I had a teenager that argued with me on that one time, and she admitted later that I was right. So she solved the problem. So if it's a person, deal with it. Now, secondly, if it's a thing, things happen in life. And this burden of mine lately with the instrument rating has been a thing. Okay? It's a challenging thing to me, and it's been hard. And it's been kind of consuming, but fortunately, it hasn't sunk in and brought me down in depression. Because it's easy for me. So when I teach this lesson, it comes from a lot of unfortunate experience that I wish I didn't have. And so if it's a thing, and so we're looking at this, and I'm going to go back to Jesus in His example in Mark chapter 14, because this was a major thing and problem in His life. He's looking at going to the cross, okay? And so this is pretty big. And so Jesus has this thing that's going to happen. Okay, you may have something that's going to happen, or you may be worried about something happening. You may have something that have happened in your past that is just overwhelming you. Okay, and so when we go to this passage in Matthew chapter 14, 33 and 34, it says, "And he takes with him Peter and James and John and began to be sore amazed." In other words, he was overwhelmed. Okay, and that's what it's talking about. It says, "He began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy." So his heart was heavy. His emotion was just overwhelming when this emotion of knowing that he was getting ready to go to the cross to die. "And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." The other context say to watch and pray. I want us to remember a couple things about this. Number one, Jesus, in his example of dealing with something, a heavy thing, number one, he sought help. A lot of times we're too proud to ask for help. He wanted some support from some of those closest of his friends. Guys, a lot of times we try to bear the burden alone. And honestly, there's some burdens that overtake us in our life that are pretty hard to bear. I've dealt with a lot of people and struggling with things that happen in their life. Many of those things maybe happened years ago that they have pain over now. Many of those things were things that overcome them because of situations in life and things that happen and problems. But guys, number one, I think when we need to avoid depression, we need some good friends. I want us to notice here that Jesus attacked the problem. Now, Jesus knew that the problem was going to come. He knew he was going to the cross. Okay? But Jesus took that time to circle himself with some friends and he asked them, "Please watch and pray with me." Now, prayer, we're going to come to this, and this is an important part. I spent a lot of time in my depths of depression in prayer and acknowledging that God is God and I don't have what it takes. And guys, whether you like to admit it or not, you don't have what it takes either. Okay? The sooner we come to that realization, the sooner we can have healing for our problem. Jesus knew that he couldn't do it by himself. He went to God for help. He had friends to help him and to try to support him. Now, they were very poor at supporting. They just passed out in sleep. Jesus, you're on you. Okay? I really think most of the time, if you have friends that know you have a problem, I think they can help you. Now, be careful. A lot of times, we just like to whine about our problems. You hear me? It is good to talk about your problems to proper people that you can trust. But it is not good to dwell on it and hang on to it and keep it going. And so we got to find a balance, because dwelling on it, hanging on to it, and keeping going, all it's going to do is feed that depression. Because see, Jesus found help and he went and he prayed to God for assistance in this problem. And so we've got to keep that in mind in whatever thing that we are dealing with in life, that we can't do it on our own and we need help. And we've got to deal with it so that we can move on. Now, we'll deal with the unsolvable part in a little bit, in a little while. But now, when it comes to things in your life, a lot of times we can just deal with it. And we don't, because of fear. Okay? Sometimes we don't know how. Sometimes maybe we don't have the avenue or the ability. But sometimes we just need to deal with it. Have you been enjoying the tests? And so you sit back and you sulk, or do you just deal with it? You study with it and you move forward. And so in other words, we could get discouraged and depressed because we've got all of this stuff going on. Okay? And it, all it's going to do is bring us down. But what we do is we plan a course of action and we work towards that goal. It doesn't mean it's always easy. In fact, if it's easy, what's the deal? What's the big deal? Okay? Where's the challenge? Where's the excitement? Where's the victory, the joy of victory that comes? All right? And so keep in mind that, guys, if it's a thing, work to deal with it. All right? Solve that problem, find what it is, and go solve it and put an end to it. At least make an attempt. We'll deal with the unsolvable stuff in a little bit. But just take care of these problems if you can. But remember, if you hang on to it and keep it flowing, all you're going to do is get more and more depressed. I know because I've done it. All right? I know because I've studied it. I know because I've listened to psychiatrists talk about it. I've spent plenty of time with individuals that are knowledgeable in this field. And so, if you can, deal with it. The next point that I want to deal with is it your own selfish pride? Pride's not a good thing. Now, it can be a good thing because it helps us to dress and look nice, right? You know, everybody here today, I mean, we put nice clothes on because we have some pride in ourselves. You know, we comb our hair, if we have any. And we love you, Roy. He's wiping the tears. But we have a pride in ourselves, and that's good. But we've got to be very careful because sometimes there's a pride that causes us to go in directions that we're determined that we're not willing to make some changes because we're too proud. We've got to understand something about the bad kind of pride. God's going to punish it. It's just the way it is. Now, caveat here. If you've got pride and it's causing you problems, just thank God. Because He's trying to help you to go to heaven. Does that make sense? The testing that you're going through is your own doings if you're dealing with pride. When I've dealt with pride, it caused my own problems. Okay? And I needed those problems so I'd get rid of that. And so, it's a struggle. I continue to do that and I hope that I will be able to keep pride out of my life. But it may be an ongoing battle for the rest of my life. But let's work on it together. So I want to go to Leviticus chapter 26, verses 18 through 21. Now, in Leviticus chapter 26, God is giving His speech to Israel. And He says, look, if you follow what I tell you, I will bless you and all that you do. And then He says, on the other hand, if you choose to not follow my teachings, I'm going to curse you and your life and everything that you do. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Okay? And so that's what He says through Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And so down in verse 18 and following, He says in this passage, He says, and if you will not yet for all of this hearken to me, then I will punish you seven times more than your sins. And so He's simply talking about, look, guys, I told you to do this. Don't steal, don't do this, don't do that. And the things that they were supposed to. Okay? If you don't do that, I'll punish you, He says, seven times for your sins. He continues, I'll break the pride of your power. And I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Notice, the pride of your power. And the thing is God gave them great blessings. And no doubt they were very proud of their wonderful blessings. And God says, I'm going to break you. That I'll break that pride. I'll deal with it. And I'll make sure that you suffer for your sins. Okay? And so He continues. He says, I will break the pride of your power. And I'll make your heaven as iron. Your earth as brass. Your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield or increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield her fruits. Notice, He says, and your strength shall be spent in vain. Now that reminds me that I think it was that Micah 1:4-1:6. It says you put money in bags with holes in them. You know, have you ever felt like, you know, no matter what you do, it all turns mud? You know? And why does everything go wrong for me? You know, and that, what was that old song? Why is everybody always picking on me? You know? And people wonder why people are picking on them nowadays. Well, they're picking on them because of their actions honestly. And quite often that's the way that it is. But the thing of the matter is here is these people were not obeying God, and even their strengths were being cursed. They were not working out well. And in your life and mine, we need to make sure we live for God and put Him first. Don't let your pride get in your way. Just give in to God, okay? Put Him first in your life. And you'll find that He blesses your life. And I feel that He can get you. I don't feel that. Let me back up. I will guarantee you He will find a way to get you through your depression if you're dealing with depression or anything else. That doesn't mean it happens overnight. But I guarantee you that you come to Jesus on His terms and you'll find rest. I will guarantee you. Now you got to put His stuff in place. Okay? And all you're going to find when you follow God is it will bless your life. Okay? It'll help to deal with depression. I dealt with it. And all the time I was dealing with those 6 years of deep depression, I was preaching. I was teaching people the Bible. I was helping them through their troubles. And inside, I was crying. But I knew that God was there, and I kept trying to follow Him. Now, it took a while, okay? But God got me through that, and it's because I believe that I kept trying to do what was right. And so, verse 21, he says, "And if you walk contrary to me, and will not hearken to me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins." There's no place for pride, guys. Not the wrong kind. Yes, I'm glad you have pride in yourself. You dressed up nice. You get up in the morning and you go about your daily activities because you have pride in your life. You take care of your homes and your cars and your possessions. Those are good things. But don't let that pride stand in your way when it's causing you to disobey God. Because I guarantee you, being involved in sin is going to bring you down. I will guarantee that. It may not be right away, but it will happen. Now I want to go to Genesis chapter 4. And we're looking here at a man who was very discouraged. He was, in his mind, I think it had turned to anger, but he was upset. And at his brother, I don't know that it was so much he was upset at his brother, but he was upset. And so in Genesis chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, now let me back up to verse 5. "But to Cain and to his offering he was angry, and he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth," or angry, "and his countenance fell." In other words, he was sad. Okay? And so, "And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen?" Now watch this. "If you do well, shalt not thou be accepted?" I want us to recognize who the blame for Cain's depression laid. It was him and his own selfish pride. He was depressed because he chose to do the wrong thing before God. Okay? And so he says, "And if thou doest not well," watch this, "sin lies at the door." Now what he means there is if you choose to not do good, that there's going to be more problems coming. Which he eventually killed his brother over it. Okay? He says, "Unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Let's talk just a minute about being angry at somebody. I've heard some phrases lately, and I've been in some different discussions along this, and one of the phrases went something like, "Don't let them take up residence." A lot of times we get upset with people. Now, Cain was upset with Abel because Abel was doing good and Cain was doing evil. And that made Cain mad. But Cain allowed Abel to take up residence in his brain. Don't allow it. Don't hold grudges. Don't continue to do what's wrong and then hold it against other people because they're doing the right thing. When you have a grudge against somebody, you're the only one that it hurts. You need to learn to love your enemies. And I was talking to somebody, and this is often conversation I have, and they were asking me to pray for somebody, even though they'd been very mean to them. And I commended them for that. And I said, that's the way it needs to be, because you don't need to allow them to cause you any more damage. And when you hold a grudge and refuse to pray for somebody that's got troubles because they've done something evil to you, they're doing more evil to you, except you're doing it to yourself because you're allowing that. Find forgiveness. Protect yourself in the future. That doesn't mean you need to allow them to continue to hurt you, but protect yourself for the future and pray for them that God will help. Let God sort out those problems. He's much better at it than you and me, because you and me would be like Cain. And we'll end up killing our brother and destroying our own lives. There's no place for that. So stay away from that. So if it's your selfish pride, stop it. Let it go. Now, we'll figure out how to do that here in a little bit, because it's not easy. Okay. Some problems, guys, that bring on depression, you can't change the problem. It is what it is. There's a lot of things that happen in our lives that we can't go back and undo. It may be something that somebody else has hurt you. It may be something that has happened that you've hurt somebody or whatever, and they're dead and gone. You can't go make it right. There are problems that cannot be solved. I fell skating when I was about 34 or 5, and I landed on my tailbone. Until that time in life, I had so much energy. I was the fastest runner, and there wasn't anything I couldn't do. And I sit there on the floor, and I said, I have lost it. And since that time, I've not had energy. And I can't even hardly run. I've got a gait when I run. I don't know how to run anymore. And it happened from that one very time. I can't change it. And I was thinking about that just yesterday, I think. And I'm thinking, man, them days are gone. But we can't go back and change them, can we? We can't solve that problem. So there's a lot of things in your life that you could be angry about because you hurt. I know Dorothy's father was angry because he had the brightest future in the world. He went to the World War II and he got hurt in the war. And so then he was angry at the world because of it after that. He died that way in his 80s. An angry old man. Don't. Okay? So how do we do that though? So go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is what we've got to remember when we've come against problems that are unsolvable. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says this: Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke on you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guys, I'm going to tell you that the only way you're going to solve depression, I'm not saying you may not need medication to help you, and it's not a shame. the only way to solve it is you got to go back to Jesus who gives rest. And so in that thing, we're looking at something that we've got to learn. What does he say? And so some of these things we've looked at today are simple guidelines to help us. We see these things in the scriptures. All these things that God gave us through the Bible, they're there for you and me to learn and to grow by and to have examples that we can see. I love it when I can see somebody and see what they go through and I'm thinking, wow. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, see, that's the way the Bible is. I can read the Bible and I can see what individuals have gone through. I can see these neat little things that God says, like, be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46 and 14. I'm thinking, wow, that is big. And I look at a lot of the problems that I've caused myself over the years is because I wasn't still and recognized that God is God. You know, I fought that. And you know, that's been big to me here lately because it helps me to understand a little bit more about faith and a confidence in Him. And so Jesus says, notice He says, come unto me, all of you that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Is there any rest in depression? I don't know if you've dealt with it, but I have, and there's no rest. I mean, from the time we get up in the morning until the time we get up the next morning, there's no rest. You don't sleep good. You don't feel good. You're not happy. Things don't go well because you're depressed, and so you make decisions that are not quite as wise because your mind is not good. And Jesus says, listen, I want you to come to me and I'll give you rest. Notice he says, take my yoke upon you. Now, the yoke of Jesus is that which we have given to where a yoke was what held two beasts of burden together. And together they would use that yoke to pull that burden. And so Jesus is saying, look, take my yoke upon you. So you know what that tells me? He's helping to pull the load. And so here I'm depressed and I'm thinking, why don't I rely on Jesus? Now, when Jesus says, take my yoke, he's saying that also that there's some things we need to do, right? This is not all him, even though in a sense it is, okay? Because we totally rely on him. But there's some things that we need to follow. So we take that yoke on and we learn of Jesus. I have really enjoyed, I think the last 12 years of my life, I've looked more and more and more about Jesus and what he did and what he said and how he interacted and all of the things about him. And it's been really a neat journey. And I've learned a lot. But not just his life in general. But I'm not saying I didn't look at the rest of the New Testament because that's all Jesus. Okay? But what he's saying here, he says, you need to learn from me so that you can have rest. And that's why, you know, this is not the only thing that helps you deal with depression. It's here. It's all of it. It's all of these things that we pull in together to find out what is it that God would have us to do. And so if it's unsolvable, a person that won't repent, a problem that disappoints, health or disappointment, to begin with, before that you decide that it's unsolvable, ask a wise person to help you see if there is a solution. Let me tell you something. If you're depressed, I don't think clear if I'm depressed. Let's just put it that way. All right? I need help. And so I've learned to swallow my selfish pride and find somebody that I can trust, that I can talk to. What do I do? You know? How do I handle this problem? Okay? So keep that in mind. And so then we want to look at some other verses as we look at this, because I'm going to run out of time here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because a lot of times we look at the apostles and we think, oh man, you know, they were just inspired. They had all this together. It wasn't a big deal for them. But it really was. So look at 2 Corinthians 12, starting in 6. Paul says, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. We don't know what it was, but it was a physical problem that Paul was dealing with. Now watch this. For this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now let me listen. Let me listen to me. Sometimes God says no. You hear what I'm saying? You might ask for healing, and God say no. He might say, it's your time to die. Okay? He might say, you're going to have to live with this the rest of your life. Okay? I busted my tailbone, and I've lived with it for the rest of my life. It was so nice to have energy. I don't have it no more. God said no. But now look at the rest. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength, says Christ, is made perfect in weakness. You and I need to be weak so Christ can be strong. Because see, that's where faith takes over and God takes over and deals with us in a way that makes sense and that works. Okay? You might not like your trouble. Don't get depressed. Allow God. Okay? Keep going. Most gladly, therefore. Did you hear what Paul says? Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. That seems like an oxymoron. How do you do that? How can you be strong when you're weak? You're strong when you're weak because you're relying on Christ to solve your problems and deal with those problems. And when you're relying on Him, it's awful hard to be depressed because you know He's going to take care of you, right? I've loved the journey with Bonnie since April 1st when we met. And we talk a lot about how God has blessed you through all these things. And we just think, isn't that so neat? But isn't that how He takes care of you? Is it amazing or what? Okay, so let's go around the room. Okay? Isn't that the way He does? Okay? And so I'm thankful. And so even though I have problems, when I'm weak, He can be strong. Guys, we need to recognize the greatness of God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A faith, guys. Now, a faith is not something that you're going to get without a continual study of God's Word and applying it to your life. You need to be in the Bible. And it doesn't matter what we're studying. One Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday afternoon worship, Wednesday evening Bible class. It's all about overcoming depression. Because we've got to put God's Word into our heart and into our life if we're going to have the strength, or we're going to be able to have the strength to deal with the problems that come. Because it'll weigh us down. It'll mess up our life. And we find all kinds of things to do besides study God's Word. I hate staying home when I'm sick. But Kenneth, don't leave me here. You hear what I'm saying? I don't want to stay home when I'm sick. Sometimes I have no choice. Hopefully I don't ever get sick again. But I'd say there's a chance of that. But guys, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You're not going to have faith without God's Word. And so everything, we need it. We need it. It's not just this lesson, it's everything that we study will help us to overcome and deal with the depression. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Watch this. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Kind of goes back to that self-pride thing, right? But then watch verse 7. Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. What is your problem? What's your worry? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What overwhelming problem do you have that you can't deal with? It doesn't matter what it is. It's that faith in God that's get you through, isn't it, Brian? We can't make it otherwise.
can't make it through those years of depression, being at the bottom, wanting to give up, I kept in a constant communication with God, thinking about the admonitions of the things that He says in the Scriptures to keep me going, to help me to gain a confidence in that and help me to get over the struggles and the problems and the emotions that were overwhelming my mind and to go forward. But it was God's Word that did it. It was putting my problems on His shoulders, and He can bear the problems. You can't do it, and neither can I. God's got what it takes. And He will do and help us through all of those problems. And now we got to look at sticking to the plan. We're running out of time. Go to Philippians chapter 4. I love this passage. This is, I tell you what, Philippians 4 and Romans chapter 8 are two scriptures that spend an awful lot of time in my heart and my mind. And verse 8 is such an amazing passage when it comes to it. So you've laid out the plan. You figured out what's going on. Now we got to stick with the plan. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Watch this. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In the depths of depression, my mind wanted to focus on my pain. That's all I wanted to think about. And I would look at this verse and others, and I'm thinking, okay, so let's think about something good. And so I would try to think about some happy thing. And I had three wonderful children and an amazing, wonderful wife. And that would last for about 5 seconds. And then I'd go back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then I would realize it in an hour down the road. And say, oh, I've done it again. And believe me, I am not stretching the truth. I'm telling you. Okay? And then I remind myself again. I'd go over the scriptures in my head and tell myself that God will take care of it. We're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. And we got to think on good things. And so I would start thinking about some blessing that I have. And it would last about 5 seconds. But you've got to stick to the plan. If you give up, it'll never change. I can't tell you how many times a day I quoted a lot of these passages in my head. Believed them, but I was struggling. I kept working at it. I kept trying. I kept giving it all that I've got. Guys, you got to think about good things. Quit thinking about the bad things. You've got so many blessings in your life to be thankful for. Why are we overwhelming ourselves with the bad stuff? Everybody's got bad stuff. Go to James chapter 5 and verse 11. I think this is so neat. And this passage has meant so much to me over the years. We're looking at Job and the problems that he's experienced. And he's lost his family. He's lost all of his wealth. And now he's lost his health. He is in a pitiful condition. His wife said, curse God and die. Wow, what a hell. And then in verse 11 it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Man, we look at Job and said, is he amazing or what? Isn't that what we think? Said, he is, I just don't know. I just look up to him. He's such a pedestal to look up to. We count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. You remember the rest of the story of Job? He was blessed multitude over what he had to begin with. And he got all his family. Had more children. Had a great life. Was blessed immensely. And that's what you've got to see about your life and your problems. Give it to God. Stay faithful. Put Him first. And God will take care of you. And that's what we've got to look at. Guys, we got to use stick-to-itiveness. I'm telling you. I don't know how many times a day I'd go over those verses and bring myself back. And Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Okay? I quoted that 100 times a day.
And in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. Here I was preaching the gospel, and I was teaching people, and I was doing the best I could, and trying to go forward. At the same time, I'm so depressed that I can't function. And I had to remember that God said, I'll work it out for you. And I say, God, I know that, but it's not happened. So where's the faith? Where's the faith? Yes, it was tough. But it was God's word in my heart that kept me going forward and kept me giving it all I got. I had to trust God in my prayers. I had to trust God's power to be able to get me through. And you do too. If you don't overcome it, it'll overcome you. But you don't have to overcome it. You just got to come to God on His terms and allow Him to help you. And He'll give you the strength that you need as long as you're putting His Word into your heart and working to put it into your life. One of the things we need to remember, though, guys, few problems in life are overcome instantly. It's just the way it works. Now, when it's our problems, we think that that's the way it ought to be, right? We look at somebody else and we say, wow, they're neat. They're bearing up under their problem. But when it's ours, we say, this ain't fair, God. Guys, be patient first, God. Be still and know that He's God. Do you ever wonder what God is trying to get you to see? Give Him time. He will. You know, until then, just trust Him. Trust Him. Don't allow depression to kick in, but say, thank you, God, and I'm going to go forward. I'm going to give it all I got. Prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. You know, the word careful is there, but it says quit worrying is what it means. Quit worrying about anything. Don't worry about anything. Worry about nothing. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We can't take God out of the equation. We need God. And the sooner we admit that, the closer we're going to be to solving our problem and coming out of depression. I hate it. I hate it. I don't ever want to be depressed again. And I know that with God, if things come, He will take care of me if I stay with Him. That's the key. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, that's Jesus, and that's what He gives. Don't expect it to happen without Him. Don't expect it to be taken care of. And you might be able to overcome it, but not without putting the principles in place that God has given. Prayer. Ask Him and thank Him. And I'll tell you what, that thankfulness, that kind of goes with verse 8 that we read a little while ago. You begin to think about all the good things that happen in your life. Okay? You know, I was about 9 or 10 years old. I remember something, a lesson on prayer and being thankful to God. And I know I went home that night and I probably prayed for an hour about everything I could think of that I was thankful for. I wasn't very old at the time, but something impressed on me. You need to thank God, because when you're thanking Him, you're thinking about the good things in your life. And when you stop and really take the time to think about the good things in your life, it's going to be a little bit harder to stay depressed. I'm not saying it's going to overcome it right away. It's a journey. Real quick, we're about out of time. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Talk to a friend. Make sure that they are trustworthy. people have been hurt because they've talked about their deep feelings with somebody that didn't keep it confidential. Okay? But a friend is somebody that loves at all times. Sometimes people don't want to be around somebody that is depressed because it kind of rubs off on them. Let me tell you something. If you're depressed, you can come to me. I've gone to people in the midst of my depression to find help and comfort, and they love me in the midst of my problems. And so, talk to a friend. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6, it says that the faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. In other words, a friend might tell you what you need to hear. Does that make sense? Sometimes we just need to be kicked politely in a good way to wake us up. Okay? And a good friend has got the guts to tell us what we need to hear. Sometimes we just need to hear that. And so, if a friend hurts you, it's probably good for you. Now, when you're dealing with depression, the last thing you want to hear is that you made a mistake and you need to change. Sometimes it's just our own mess ups that get us down. And guys, if it is, just admit it and find a friend to help you to change it. Find the Lord to help him, have him help you to change it. And you'll find that it'll come in time. And so I want to conclude with the passage in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. Now, there's so much more in Philippians in this chapter 4 passage. It is an amazing passage. But guys, you're going to have a devotion time with God. I cannot emphasize, we should have 100% attendance at every service. I don't care if it's a Bible class, a worship. God expects us to all be here. But we need that, and then we need devotion time at home with God's Word. And that's why, you know, we emphasize a lot of time reading your Bible every day. You need that if you're going to be able to function in life. God says in Philippians 4 and verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You need God's Word in your life. It's not enough to talk to Him and ask Him for help. You're going to have to listen to Him talk to you. And if He ain't talking to you and you're not listening, you're not going to have the help that you need. And so you need that devotion time to allow God to come into your heart and speak to you. And that's what Bible study is all about. That's allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your lives. Do you want the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Do you want Him to help you through your troubles and your struggles and your heartaches? You got to let Him in. You could quench the Spirit in Philippians or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Quench the Spirit, and that's not going to do you any good. But you got to, don't let the fire go out. You got to keep it burning brightly. Let God talk to you. Guys, depression is a terrible, terrible master. Most of us have dealt with it in one form or another. Jesus is just saying, look, come to me, I'll give you rest. But He gives guidelines. And there's super principles. I tell you what, I read a book on counseling numerous years ago, and that's one of the things that kind of got me started on this. Is it was a book that helped people to properly counsel. And do you realize, and I've talked with psychiatrists that help people through their problems, every good principle in psychology that helps people overcome depression and suicide feelings comes from the Bible. Every single one. I don't need to read those other books, because I've got the textbook that they got their ideas from. I have. But all I found out is that they took it from the Bible. God's got the solution. We're out of time.
Thank you, guys. If there is anybody here that needs to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers, you know, we need to pray for each other. Jesus asked the apostles to pray for him in his darkest hour. The invitation is designed for several things. One is, if you need the prayers of the church, you can ask for them. And I guarantee you'll get them. Another is, if your life is not right and you're not right with God, it's a good time to change it. Now, you can do that anytime. You know, I told somebody the other day, I said, I've had a call in the middle of the night. They wanted to get their right life right with God and put Christ on baptism. I said, okay. I think it was 5:30 before I got home that morning. But I was happy. Of course, I went to bed. I was tired. It doesn't matter when. Now's a good time if it needs to be. What matters is, get your life right. If you need to do it now while we stand.